Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey toward truth, traveling through our dreams and inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All aboard All Roads Lead 65 Max with Pamela Henderson.
Greetings and welcome to BBS Radio All Road 65. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. Today's topic of discussion, the Infinity Man. My special guest is Mr. Graham McQuaid. My focus is my mission statement, to help create a quality of life through social growth, inspiring Jules to become leaders by establishing partnerships with professionals, corporations, nonprofits, the judicial system, school district, churches, donors, sponsors, and volunteers in the community and abroad. I would like to welcome Mr. McQuaid. Mr. Graham McQuaid, who is an author with a couple of novels under his belt and a third on the way, says he still struggles to see himself as an author. Because of his world is dominated by work and family, writing still feels like a bit of bolt on an activity. Although around 80% of his downtime is occupied by his thoughts of whatever he is writing, Mr. McQuaid does not complain. He loves his family, and believe it or not, he says he loves his job too. Time is something that he has never really had enough of. In his world, time is the most valuable commodity. But he is not alone. As an independent author, you have to be the master when it comes to finding time to write. And those times are rarely ideal. Late at night, early in the mornings, and the odd slot over the weekend. There is a plus side to this, he says. He has never sat in front of the computer wondering what to write. His head is usually bursting with ideas. And I have stacks of notes, he says, that have taken down when an idea has jumped out at him. Again, I would like to welcome my special guest, Mr. Graham McQuaid. So how are you doing, Mr. McQuaid, and how are you coping in the midst of this COVID?
Oh, man, it's mad. Thank you. Firstly, thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate you sort of bringing me on. And it's taken us a time to get together, but, you know, it's, yes. it's just great to be here. COVID, well, COVID, as you know, is affecting everybody. I mean, there isn't anybody that hasn't got a story relating to the drawbacks or unfortunately the loss as a result of COVID. So coping with it is one way of putting it. For me and most of my family, actually, we've been stuck at home since March of last year working. You know, we haven't had much of a social life in that time also, so it's pretty much the same as everybody else, I'm guessing.
It's
something that I don't think as a race we're actually used to, you know, being cooped up. I mean, we're always driving to sort of like do more with ourselves, and this is just probably the ultimate it's the worst nightmare for a lot of us. You know, to be kind of trapped like this. So I can't think of anything worse, to be honest. Well, I can, obviously, but I mean, you know what I mean. I think I don't think anyone has got a great thing to say about this sort of situation we find ourselves in, unfortunately.
So true. So tell me about yourself, Mr. McQuaid. Where did you grow up and where do you reside right now?
Yeah, sure. Well, basically, I grew up in Essex. And I'm still living in Essex, actually. But this, which isn't too far from London for a lot of the guys there that don't really know where this is. It's in the UK. So, come from sort of pretty much a standard working class background, and, you know, got great you know, a lot of my kind of ideas and imagination effectively have been born from the sort of stories that my dad and my uncles used to sort of share with us, and my aunts obviously used to share with us about them growing up. So although we wasn't a particularly healthy sort of wealthy family when it comes to money, we was rich in kind of family, you know, we was rich in sort of like love and sort of union, I guess. So and if you was of a mind to kind of tap into that and actually take the time to listen to the stories that were actually being sort of like bounced around you and absorb them, they were just magical times. They were just magical moments and magical times. And I've always kind of grown up in and around that. So that's been wonderful for me, really. Obviously sort of like growing up in this area, although it's on the Thames, it's a fairly industrialised area. You know, there was always a lot of stuff going on locally with regards to industry. So very busy environment that I've been in. And obviously not being too far from London. I mean, I kind of migrated towards London in my work life. But, you know, having London so close was wonderful because I was able to kind of travel, and London was able to form quite a big part of my life, you know, with growing up, the music scene and all of the bits and pieces that were going on in London as I was growing up. So I was lucky enough to be able to kind of to tap into that.
Yes. So, Mr. McQuaid, you stated that you find writing to be an incredible outlet. It allows you to enter a world with no limits. Can you elaborate more about that topic?
Yeah, sure. I think if you talk to any author, they'll generally sort of like people that are actually sort of writing fiction. The best way to describe it is that if you start with an idea and you move on with that idea, what tends to happen is that as the kind of idea evolves and develops, the story never really turns out to how you set it out to be. And the reason for that is because your mind tends to take that idea, and as you open up different doors in your head, it expands. And then what you realize actually after writing for some time, you don't have to be writing a long time. I mean, I suppose a lot of people can actually stumble upon this notion quite early on if they're choosing to write. But the boundaries tend to just disappear. So you're able to sort of like develop and evolve upon an idea, and you can just invent a whole world if you choose to. I mean, that's not necessarily the way I go, but it's incredible how your mind evolves if you're actually focused on fiction, if you're focused on developing scenarios for people to operate within. And it is quite an incredible thing, really. And I didn't really understand that fully until I truly got into writing, until I sort of like truly kind of believed I could actually be a writer. Because I think from day to day, your mind has limits. If you're just working within a day-to-day job or just a day-to-day working life, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. It's just that, you know, it's not until you actually start kind of thinking and developing upon ideas you realise that actually there are no boundaries when it comes to actually developing and writing. I think someone's actually likened it in the past to like a cab driver. Okay, so if you've got in the UK, everyone's heard of the London cabbies, you know, so they do a thing called the knowledge. So when they start that role, they have to learn every road in London. Now, that seems impossible, but that that's the knowledge. That's effectively the knowledge. So to pass the knowledge, you have to have a series of exams. There is a point to this, by the way. Sorry, I'm going on a bit of a cab journey with you. No, but the thing is that what actually happens is that there is a certain part of your brain that develops, and it grows physically grows as a result of actually learning that information. And, you know, people have actually likened that to writing, because the more you write and develop those thoughts and imagination, certain parts of your brain that you wouldn't necessarily ever tap into suddenly come to life. And when you actually, you know, I can't imagine what it must be like for people that have wrote fiction for many, many years, because when it comes to actually tuning in to write a book about a certain subject, they could probably come up, it'd be fascinating just to see the sort of like areas and what they can actually come up with very quickly. You know, I'm not quite there yet, by the way, but I mean, it's sort of,
So that comes to my next question. I was going to ask you, when did you first realize you wanted to be a writer?
Yeah, there's a couple of elements to this, actually. I think I've always had it in me to, I've always been one for telling stories. Telling stories is what I've done with the kids since they were very young. I have a 5-year-old son now, but I've also got kids that have grown up and got kids of their own. And what I used to do years ago, and I still do with Finley, is that I would effectively sit down and make stories up. Rather than read stories from a book, I'd always just make a story up. So I've always had it in me to actually develop these stories pretty much off the cuff, weird and wonderful, some good, some not so good. So I've always had it in me to want to write. And then I'm not entirely sure whether you, but you know, or from what I've actually written, but my mother sadly passed away when I was really young. So over the years, I've done various things for different charities that supported the illness that sadly took my mother. And but it was never really enough. What I wanted to do was I wanted to create something for her. You know, so the way I kind of coined it is that, you know, she was brave enough to breathe life into me, then it's only right that I breathe life into her memory. So that, and that kind of stayed with me for a while. So when I wrote the books, it was very much with her in mind. So that was my kind of inspiration, and that propelled me, if you like, into writing. So, you know, if you look at the books, the lead character is a woman called Margaret Gwendolyn Johnson. Well, Margaret Gwendolyn Johnson is actually my mother's birth name. So that essentially was the kind of the driver to write, coupled with the fact that I knew I had it in me to write. I knew I had the ability to come up with something a little bit kind of unusual and not necessarily too fanciful, but something that was interesting, you know. And then I think the key really is that the ideas that I had interested me, and that was enough, really, because you should only really write for yourself at the end of the day. You shouldn't necessarily, you shouldn't really write.
So how long does it take to write a book?
The first book actually took about, oh, I've got to be careful with this. So the first book probably took about 3 to 4 years. A little bit vague on that. Because it was the first book, it was quite a tough journey, you know, because I didn't quite know. I mean, I had some great support, don't get me wrong, but it took me a while to actually get into a bit of a groove, you know. And obviously I sort of like, I didn't want to write something and publish something that I didn't think people would. I know I've just sort of said it's more about you, but I wanted it to be right, you know what I mean? Because obviously it wasn't about just releasing a book. It was actually releasing a book, which effectively was a tribute to my mother. So I just wanted it to be just so. So I took quite a lot of time on that. But then the book was so big that it evolved, that it needed to be part of a trilogy. So essentially so the first two books, the books 1 and 2, are the trilogy, and obviously I'm writing the third. So the second book, however, probably took less than 2 years. And the third book is actually taking even less. I mean, I kind of got into it. Probably
you didn't get better, huh? You didn't master it.
But the thing is, it's sort of, but that takes me back to the point that we were chatting before, because I think, you know, the more you do, you can... Mm. You can just tune. I'm not saying that the first draft is great. I'm only on the first draft, by the way. But I'm not saying that it's great. But at least putting the foundations together of a book is seems a lot easier now. It's much, much easier than it was the first time round. Do you know what I mean? I get into the kind of rhythm a lot quicker. And what's actually interesting also is that, you know, over the last sort of year or so, I've actually got to talking to other independent authors through various kind of social mediums and you know, listening again to other people's stories about the way they actually sort of like put their stuff together. You get lots of good ideas, you know. You should never close yourself down to ideas from others. So that's been good and it's been helpful. Yeah, really helpful.
So what would you say is your interesting writing quirk?
Interesting writing quirks. Well, it's funny enough, in that beautiful kind of introduction you gave me, I think you touched on it there. I think one of the things that I'm able to do is literally just pick up and write. And I don't have to set the scene to write. I can actually just pick my computer up and tune in and just lock in. And that's a quirk, I think, because I think, you know, again, just talking to other authors, they effectively have to have a run-up at writing. Do you know what I mean by that? It's sort of like, so they need to prepare themselves to sit and focus, whereas that's never really been something I've had to do. So, you know, I could sit now and probably just crack into the chapter I'm on at the moment and pretty much cruise through it. That's not to say it's going to be a fantastic piece of work, don't get me wrong, but as a quirk, I think that's quite a thing, you know. Yeah. So, you know, when I say that to some people,
yes,
they sort of say,
absolutely.
Yeah, they sort of go, they sort of say, can you really do that? And I say, yeah, it's almost like a superpower.
Right. So on that note, we are going to take a break and we will be right back.
BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back to BBS Radio All Roads 65. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson, and I have my special guest, Mr. Graham McQuaid, who I call the Infinity Man. Mr. McQuaid, you still with me?
Hell yeah. I'm good. I'm not going anywhere.
We are also celebrating today for this whole entire month from being extended from March the 1st as the UN. This is the word of the day of being a discrimination-free world. And with that being said, next question to you. I was reading some of your new books that is available called The Gods. Please tell me more about that book, Mr. McQuaid.
The New Gods, right. Okay. It's fine. It's the first book of the trilogy and it's about how the core group that operate through the trilogy get together. Now this book is actually set in 2020. I wrote it 2 years ago, actually, and it's about an unusual event that takes place in the Rouen Mountains in France, where there's a strange discovery, which ultimately unleashes a virus on Central Europe. Which is deadly and uncontrollable. And our team, effectively, which is Margaret, John, and ultimately Zach Murphy, have to determine what actually caused the virus, and how to stop it from going global. So it's I think the best way to describe it is that these guys are ordinary people. You know, they've got no superpowers or anything like that. They're just ordinary people. Just find themselves in a very unusual environment, and they react how you and I would react. You know, in those sort of circumstances, when you're up against it, and you know the sort of decisions that you make when you're put under a huge amount of pressure. It's a very, it's a very difficult journey for them, and it's sort of a difficult journey emotionally, physically. What was really bizarre is that obviously the book was released in 2020, at the beginning of last year, and then lo and behold, sort of like a month or so later, Corona hit. So everyone was sort of saying, well, hold on a minute. Your book's about a virus. It's about a pharmaceutical company. It's about there's lots of elements that dovetail into Corona. Don't get me wrong, Corona's huge, and the virus that I kind of refer to, you definitely wouldn't want that sort of unleashed on the world. And it's but it was just bizarre how a lot of people that were reading the book last year it kind of echoed with what they was actually experiencing in their own lives, you know, dealing with that sort of pandemic. I think the way to kind of coin it, I think it's an adventure, it's a journey, it's on the cusp of kind of science fiction, because obviously some of the elements in there are not, you know, totally believable, but it makes for the imagination. And it's really just how I think at the heart of the book, I think it's friendship and union, how that kind of gets you through these kind of moments, and that sort of unity, and how that kind of gets you through and enables you to combat kind of bigotry and wealth. There's a lot of power plays within the book that need to be overcome. Yeah, I'm going to say this anyway because it's an interesting book. I'm the author, but no,
right.
I'd love for people to read it, to be honest with you. That's because what I love is the feedback, and the feedback from New Gods has been brilliant. One of the things, just on that, if you don't mind me saying, Pamela, is that I was able to get it over onto audiobook. It's actually out on audiobook at the moment. Not wishing to plug the audiobook, but there's a point to this, is that sometimes when you move a book from the kind of written word over to audiobook, there's sometimes you're a bit worried about the translation. I've got this fantastic narrator, a guy called Walt Allen. He comes from North Dakota. He's such a lovely guy, and he did the narration beautifully. I mean, incredible. He went for character and everything. He was just a great actor, you know, in my opinion. And he did such a lovely version of the book. So the transition was great. And what I was really worried about was the reviews. Now, I know I said before you shouldn't necessarily worry about that, but I was worried because I didn't want the punch of the book in the written word to get lost in that sort of translation. And the reviews have been great. You know, I mean, I can't really fault them. You know, it was just a really great experience for me, if I'm honest. Yeah. So that's New Gods. Sorry, I went on a bit then.
Yeah. What was one of the most surprising things you learned in while you were creating your book, The Gods?
Interestingly, actually, I think what you actually, because it is an education when you're actually doing these sort of things, because there's a huge amount of research that goes in, and any writer will tell you the same. I mean, if they're doing, especially if they're writing fiction, but they want to use actual locations, you know, I mean, with New Gods, I learned a hell of a lot about Washington. I learned a lot about South Africa. Because I had to, you know, the book actually took place in South Africa, Bucharest,
okay,
and Vienna. You know, so what I actually learned what you actually learned, and certainly what my experience in actually writing this book was about the places that the people visited, because I wanted it to be right, you know, obviously just out of respect for the people that actually live in those locations that I'm actually picking out and using in the book, you know, people live there. So, and it was, yeah, I mean, that was great. I mean, I think, again, as we touched on before, I think you learn a lot about yourself when you're actually putting these books together, because regardless of obviously you get the same. I mean, where, you know, where you're presenting and the work that you do, you know, there's a bit of your soul that goes into everything that you do, and it's the same for if you're writing, you know, but you don't realize it at the time. It's not until you actually read it back and you think, you know, there's a hell of a lot of me in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that, would you think that makes a good story? And how did you come up with the name for the book, The New Gods?
Yeah. Well, there's a group called the Equals that exist within the book, and what they are, they're a group of very powerful individuals that and this group were formed back in the 18th century, and they've kind of existed in the kind of underbelly of governments, and US, actually, they're based in the US. And New Gods is how they coin, it's the phrase they coin for themselves, because they're not believers in religion, they're not believers in anything, really. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, don't get me wrong, but I mean, they consider themselves to be the New Gods. So that's where the name comes from. And it's their kind of, it kind of encapsulates their sort of arrogance and their existence, really. And they say in the opening salvo in the book, you know, when you read the prelude, we are the New Gods is effectively what they announce themselves as. So they sit very much front and center in the book, because they tend to be the drivers of all of the things that are kind of going wrong that everybody's trying to unravel. Yeah, so that's where the name of the book comes from.
Yeah, that's very inspiring. Besides writing books, Mr. McQuaid, do you have any other hobbies? If so, what else do you do when you give yourself some free time?
Yeah, that's such a good question. It's a difficult one. I mean, you know, if you have a family or had a family that have been young, obviously at some point, obviously I work, you know, full time jobs, and that still happens. And a family, obviously, is another thing that happens. And I know it's a bit corny to say that, sort of, you know, my other free time is spending time with my family, because we all get to do that anyway. But interestingly, what I get to do with my 5-year-old son is I get to play games, and we do things like Minecraft and stuff like that. So that is really cool. To be honest, it is so cool. So, you know, playing the sort of games that he plays, sort of, you know, well, not just on computer games, obviously, it's all other manner of things. It's sort of like drawing, we do videos together and stuff. So, you know, that's stuff that happens that doesn't actually need you to apply yourself too much. And what I mean by that is that there's no prep required. You just do it, and it's just fun, and it's just fantastic time to spend together. And don't get me wrong, I mean, you know, I spend time with all of my family and enjoy every minute of it. But if you talk about elements where it's just, what do you do to wind down? That's the thing I could actually definitely put a pin in, really, because that's I did it tonight, actually. It was just a nice way to relax before you guys come, you know, before I got to speak to you guys, and we was doing a bit of Minecraft, funny enough, earlier on. And it's just amazing just to see how their mind works. But you're doing it with them, so, you know, it's just great. Yeah, it's great.
Great. Yeah, that's beautiful. So tell me about 15 Days, the book. 15 Days in May, the second book in the Johnson Trilogy, The Unsolved and Brutal Deaths of the Rhodes Family. I mean, that book just caught my attention right when I had gotten and visited your website.
Yeah, well, this is this is a bit more kind of off peak, should I say? So whereas New Gods was, I would say, grounded in that, you know, it was more kind of, I'd say it's 85% drama. New Gods, you're pretty much 50-50. So you know, there's a lot going on in New Gods, which is way out there, but it's not. It's still grounded in as much as it actually takes place. In actual fact, this book is, a bulk of this book is actually takes place in Trenton, New Jersey. And it's got two, there's two fundamental things that happen within the book, and they kind of dovetail as the book kind of comes together as you go through it. So it starts with the death of the Rhodes family back in 1994. In Guatemala, so in the rainforest there, and then 24 years later in Trenton, New Jersey, in a psychiatric hospital, this kind of being emerges, and the two, I don't want to say too much, I don't give it away, but the two incidents are intrinsically linked. Now, you don't know that at the time, because obviously the way the book evolves, it all kind of brings everything together, but yeah, so that was an incredible journey, I must admit, because that was where your imagination was just literally going on overdrive. I mean, Margaret is such a strong character in my books, and she's an even stronger character in the book I'm writing now. Now I've got kind of license, if you like, to do what I want with the characters, especially Margaret, because to all intents and purposes, I'm writing about my mum. So, you know, so it's easy for me to be the character, because there's a huge amount of me in that character. And if I ever talk to people as I was growing up, they'd always say, "You are just like your mother." So, you know, that's never been an issue for me. So it's like to sort of jumping into her character, because it's unusual, you know. I'm a grown man writing as a woman, you know. So, you know, it's right. A lot of people sort of like were trying to get their head around that. I said, yeah, but I'm writing as my mother. You know, this is, I am her voice as far as I could, you know, because I'm the only one that can be, really. So, but the story, it was a great story to write. It just had so many different elements to it, and it was a real, just a free rein when it comes to actually putting that together. And it was just an enjoyable book to write, and by all accounts, you know, I look at the reviews and stuff, and it's just an enjoyable book to read, you know. So it's a real journey. So that was great. That's actually going on to audiobook now it should be done within the next sort of month or so. So that's coming together now.
Yeah, I was looking at the. I was really inspired by the book cover itself, and remind me of some of these movies I'll be watching. It's very, very interesting. I think everyone should get 15 Days in May. I mean, it is.
Yeah. it's got a bit of everything, actually.
Huh?
No. Sorry, it's got a little bit of everything. You know, you sort of. Go on, you talk. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say it's got a bit of kind of horror in it, you know, in that, you know, there is some moments in there which are a little bit kind of spine tingling, really. And that's not necessarily the route I tend to go for. But again, the book just pulled you in that direction. It needed that element, you know, so.
Yeah. So do you hear any responses from your readers much?
Yes, I do. I get messages all the time. Basically commentary about, you know, how people said that they were late for work because they literally just read the book through to the early hours of the morning because they couldn't put it down. I mean, you know, for a writer to hear that, there's no greater compliment, to be honest with you, because that's, in essence, what you really want to do. And, you know, I get that quite a bit. So it's lovely for me, obviously, because it means that something, obviously something that appeals to me is appealing to others. So, yeah, so I do get, I tend to, generally through Instagram and Twitter, you know, people sort of like reach out and talk. They're the two platforms that I tend to sort of like lean more to than anything else, really.
Okay, that's beautiful. It's nothing like hearing some great comments from our fans and people whom are interested in what we do. So that is beautiful.
Yeah.
What does your family think about your writing? About the books you write?
You know, I mean, the feedback is great. I mean, it's interesting because you know yourself that if you get, I mean, obviously your family are very honest with you and they can be, but sometimes I think they can be kind because even if they've got an issue, they won't necessarily push you on it because they also understand what an achievement it is to actually do anything, albeit write a book, a piece of work, a piece of art, presenting or anything. So they won't necessarily want to, because they know the work and the effort that's gone into it, they won't necessarily be brutally honest, but generally speaking, most people are, you know, especially in the family. I mean, in actual fact, a very good friend of mine, and I can class him as family, he's been like a brother to me over the years. He rang me after reading, after listening to New Gods on audio, and he said, how do you know about cave diving? And I said, pardon? He said, I've known you all my life. And he said, I don't know you've ever done cave diving. I said, well, I've never done cave diving. He said, well, I just listened to the opening couple of chapters of the book and it's talking about cave diving, but there's no way that you could have just guessed that. How did you know that level of detail? And it was sort of, well, research. He said, I couldn't believe it when I was reading it. I was sort of thinking, how does he know so much about this one particular subject? It's crazy. So, you know, the feedback from family has been great. Actually, I think what's more important, the support from that, especially my wife, the support from my family has been incredible, really. You know, whenever I felt the need to sort of write or do anything really in relation to the book, albeit research or go somewhere, look at a place and stuff like that. I mean, it's never once been an issue. So, which is lovely because, you know, yourself and I think others out there that are listening, if they're into photography, art, music, whatever it'll be, if you've got the support of those around you and you don't feel as if you're burdening them with your interest, it enables you to evolve and develop and spread your wings a little bit more. You know, you don't feel as if you're actually upsetting anyone by doing what you're doing, because, you know, I think most of us are reasonable people and we understand our kind of day-to-day commitments, and we wouldn't necessarily want our, you know, the things that we're passionate about to impact on their world, because it's our journey, you know what I mean, it's what we do. But it's lovely when you get the full support of your family. I think it just makes that whole journey just better, you know, it's just a better experience all around, you know.
Well, with that being said, we are going to take a break. We'll be right back.
BBS Radio.
Welcome back to BBS Radio All Roads 65. I'm your host, Pamela L. Henderson. I have my special guest, Mr. Graham McQuaid, who I call the Infinity Man. Mr. McQuaid?
I'm still here.
I want to write a book. Do you have any suggestions?
Okay.
Yes. Do you have any suggestions to help me to understand where do I start?
Yes, sure. The thing is, I think obviously if you've got an idea, the key is to just start writing. I mean, the key is really just to get everything down. I mean, if you talk to people, different people do different ways. But for me, I would structure a story roughly around where I'd like it to end and where I want it to start. This is a very, very aided. I think the key is to just to start dumping bits and pieces down on what you want the story to be and any ideas that you have. And don't worry too much about the structure from the very beginning. I mean, it's really just getting the ideas down and starting to write. And once you've got the basis, effectively, of where you want the story to go, then you can just string it together. Generally speaking, most people will always tell you that the first draft of any story you never share with anybody because it's just a mass of ideas. But once you've actually got that together and once you've actually formulated the bones of the kind of story, you can actually start to pack it out, you know, start to kind of build it up. But one of the things you'll realise, you want to write a story, which is great. I mean, that's the biggest starting block of all. But one of the things you'll realise actually once you actually get into it is that how much the story will change as you actually start to write. Because if you remember when we was talking earlier, once you actually start opening up those doors in your mind and you expand and your imagination begins to expand.
I am really interested of writing a book myself. Can you give me just a couple of suggestions how to do so?
Yeah, sure. I think what's important, well, two things actually. One, that you want to write, so write. You know, just basically start to get things down. It's a bit of a daunting task up front, I must confess. But, you know, if you've got an idea for a story, maybe just talk about the characters, you know, just get things on paper. Because once there's a piece of you down, the momentum is almost self-perpetuating. Once the words are on the paper, they tend to drag more words out of you. So I would just get some momentum behind writing, you know, just start to get things down. For me, I tend to structure the story. So I have a rough idea, you know, where the story's going. So I have a kind of target in place. And I kind of drive the story along those lines. But however, and this is back to what we were talking about before, is that the more you write, the more of those kind of doors begin to open in your mind. And what you find is that the story starts to drift off in all manner of directions. And it's quite a beautiful thing, really. I mean, I think really it's just a case of start to write, you know, get some stuff down. Are you looking to write, have you got a fictional story in mind, or is it more about yourself?
More about myself.
Oh,
the authentic
cool.
Pamela.
Yeah, that's even better because... Well, no one knows that story better than you. You know what I mean? There's no one going to be able to sort of, you know, because it's your story. So if you're brave enough to put yourself out there, then one, all credit to you. But secondly, I wouldn't say it's easier because.
Oh, yes.
You know, I think. Yeah, sorry. I was talking over you. I didn't mean to there. Sorry.
That's okay. So, Mr. McQuaid, how can someone purchase your books and follow you on your social media?
My books are basically self-published. I was I've got publishing houses and agents looking at them now, but I've never really kind of got on with anybody in particular. So I went down a self-publishing route. So my books are available on Amazon, and they're available, basically all good independent outlets, and there's many of them. I don't necessarily just want to coin Amazon. The only reason I say that is that that was the route in which I went through the publishing. So self-publishing through Amazon and Kindle is actually quite easy. And so they're available on Apple Books, Amazon, usual outlets. Contacting me and maybe sort of like following me, if anyone wants to reach out and want to and got any questions away from this this interview, they can get me on The Author McQuaid, which is my tag on Instagram, and Author McQuaid, which is at Author McQuaid, is my tag on Twitter.
Beautiful, great. Well, Mr. McQuaid, it has been a pleasure having you on my show. I do look forward to purchasing your new book, The New Gods.
Yeah,
do you have any last thoughts you would like to say?
Yeah, I think the journey of any independent artist, author, musician is a difficult one, you know. And, you know, for a certain time in that kind of journey, you do get kind of wrapped up in wanting to getting things published and what other people think. And I think my overriding message to anybody, any artist, from whatever they're doing, is just do it for yourself, you know, because at the end of the day, that's all that really matters, you know. You know, I think if you focus on what really interests you and what really hits your button, then that'll be enough for what other people do. And it doesn't actually matter if other people embrace it, long as it hits all of your marks. That's all that really matters.
Yes. Yes. Very good advice. Thank you so much. My name is Pamela L. Henderson, founder of 6-5 Max Foundation. It is a girl empowerment training program that is offered to help build one's customer service skills. I am also a person, an authentic me, who leads by example to help change someone's life one day at a time. Please follow me on IG, Pamela H. Inspires Jewel, or connect with me here on BBS Radio, All Roads 65. If you want to get into an intimate conversation in one-on-one, you can contact me by purchasing a tier on patreon.com/allroad65. I am going to leave you with the quote of the day. It is from numberless diverse acts of courage and belief that human history is shaped. Each time a man stands up for an ideal, or acts to improve the lot of others, or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope, and crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring. Those ripples build a current that can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. John F. Kennedy. Again, I thank you all so much for tuning in, and I thank you again, Mr. McQuaid, I'm sorry. Until next time, please join me on my next segment at BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you for listening to All Roads 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on BBS Radio, Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.